Golf Smarter number 605 is brought to you by MyBookie.ag, who invites you to watch your favorite games and start making money, and by 8sleep.com. If you're in or about to be in the market for a new mattress but are overwhelmed with all the options online and in retail stores, let me make a suggestion. You may actually not be looking because you think that your sleep issues are due to current events or hassles at work. Preparing for your next round keeps me awake at night thinking about what I'm going to do in the next on the golf course. Or the daily trials and tribulations of life itself. But you know what? I can almost assure you that the problem isn't life. It's your mattress. That's why you need to know about the 8 Smart Mattress. It's the same price, same comfort, and the reviews are just as good as the best beds in a box. But there is a huge difference. The 8 Smart Mattress actually helps improve your sleep with cutting-edge tech features. The 8 Smart Mattress comes with sleep tracking and other features like a smart alarm and, I just love this, Wi-Fi-enabled bed warming. And at only $699, the 8 Smart Mattress is the best mattress deal you'll find because of all the added value of their remarkable technology. If you think that technology isn't enough of an incentive over their competitors, then let me sweeten the deal by making sure you have an additional $100 off. Now you're paying less for a better mattress, added technology, and a great night's sleep. Get the 8 Smart Mattress and sleep smarter. Yeah, I know. So go to 8sleep.com, 8 E-I-G-H-T, not the number, but spell it out, 8sleep.com/golfsmarter, and use the code golfsmarter, all one word, and you'll not only get the free shipping and free returns, but you'll save an additional $100. If you know someone who's looking for a new, better mattress, let them know about this offer. You see, I get credit just for sending people to their site, whether they've listened to this episode or not. So just click on the direct link or share that direct link that's in this episode's show notes, and you're going to make me a star. And I appreciate you doing that because we need these advertisers to keep this show going. So that's 8sleep.com/golfsmarter. And again, not the number 8, EIGHT sleep.com/golfsmarter. And make sure you write in Golf Smarter at checkout to redeem the generous offer. And I want to thank them for sponsoring this episode and for the better night's sleep. Using golf to grow your business with Jonathan Taylor and Tim Davis, authors of Selling on the Green.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Jonathan and Tim. Jonathan, you go first.
Hey, Fred. How are you?
Tim, it's your turn.
Hey, Fred. How you doing today?
Okay, now that we have everybody established, thank you. Yeah, I rarely do two people on the podcast at once, but because your names are both on the cover of this book and you suggested it, I thought, let's give it a try, see what happens. But this is going to be fun. So we're going to talk about this book that you have. How many editions are you out on this now?
This is the second edition. The very first edition was back in 2014. And this is actually the second edition of the book where we've added some content to this book and then made it more. The first edition was kind of a full color that we came out with. Mm-hmm. And kind of what led to that is we've had a number of universities so far that have reached out to us. And we had, I guess what spurred us on to launch the follow-up edition, which is now just a black and white, is that we were contacted around the first of the year by Oklahoma State University, and their business department wanted to order several copies of this, I think around 60 or 70 for one of their courses. And so they had contacted me and said, you know, what's the cost on this? And so, you know, after letting them know, you know, because it's a full color edition, a little bit higher price, you know, so I couldn't get the, you know, we still didn't have, you know, at the price that we were selling the book, it we weren't getting the kind of price that we needed to, and realized, you know, if we're going to be selling these in bulk, you know, from this point on to other, you know, universities and business establishments that want to order,
lower the cost of the book. Yeah.
You got to lower the cost. And the way, you know, the only way to
do that is make it black and white.
Yeah, black and white.
Absolutely. Colors. A friend of mine once told me that if you're going to write a book, do something that can be used at universities. That's an annuity. That just every year they start selling more copies, and it just a check. That's awesome. And there are some great business schools. Forget the graduate business school course. Like my younger son went to USC, the Marshall School of Business, and he got a phenomenal business degree. And now he's a golf maniac, and it's not because of his degree. It's because of the work that he's doing. But the topic of this, we've talked about the book. People are going, what is the book already? The book is called Selling on the Green, and it's one of my favorite topics that I rarely talk about on this show. But I think it's such an important topic for this kind of this program, which is Selling on the Green is the name of the book. The Art of Building Trusted Relationships and Growing Your Business on the Golf Course. It's doing business on the golf course, which everyone thinks they're doing. But are they? I'll let you attack that one.
Well, to give you a little background, I'll let Tim chime in too, because he's got his own unique persona and his own unique way of you know, kind of positioning and marketing, because, you know, Tim has a marketing background and he's very good at what he does. I want him to share some of his story. But, you know, Tim and I talked about this book, you know, I guess it was back in 2013. You know, we discussed the idea for a book. I thought, man, this would be a great topic. You know, very seldom do you see a book that's all about selling as it relates to the game of golf. I mean, you see a whole lot of selling training programs out there, books out there on selling, and then you see a lot of great books on golf. But when you combine the two, very seldom do you see a book that, you know, talks about the effectiveness of, you know, sales as it relates to relationships, building relationships on the golf course. And I taught with Tim. I gave, you know, this idea popped into my head. I gave Tim a call and said, man, what do you think about this? An idea for a book on golf and selling. And of course, Tim, you know, Tim was like all on board. And so we wanted to get this book done in a relatively short time. You know, we didn't want to sit down and write, you know, a 200 page book. So we thought, you know, maybe the best way to put this book together is to talk to other people, like other business professionals out there like ourselves, who love the game of golf and are not necessarily, you know, super great golfers, and some are, but just love the game as it relates to being a tool in their business and how they use it to, you know, as a relationship tool. Because, you know, as one of my all-time favorite books by Tim Sanders, A Likeability Factor, talks about, you know, building, you know, one of the ways that you build trust is through friendliness, relevance, empathy, realness, authenticity. And so in order to develop true, you know, a deep lasting relationship, you have to really spend time with people. And, you know, sales today, you know, we see it so much today in the digital world that we live in. Everything's done through text, through, you know, tweeting and texting and email. And so everything is, you know, it seems like we've kind of lost that art of really just developing a close personal relationship with people and using that as a way, not in a manipulative sense, but more or less as a way to just build lasting relationships. And we talk about in the book, how can you use the game of golf to develop it? Not just go out there and just, you know, hit with somebody, but really kind of a strategic approach to building that relationship through an invitation. In fact, we have, you know, in the book, in the introduction book, we talk about the swing method, which is you sell the invitation, you win the relationship, you invest in the relationship. At that point, do you notice the opportunities after you have built the relationship and finally you gain the sale? So, but it's not a way of inviting somebody on the golf course and then trying to sell to them while you're there. The whole purpose is to develop a relationship, ask questions, talk to people, get to know them, learn about their family, learn about their, you know, what they love to do outside of business and so forth. And that's really the way you use golf, as a way to just you know, get to know people and build those relationships.
And I've found that the golf course allows you to ask questions that you wouldn't necessarily ask in a business meeting or in an email address, you know, like with a new relationship, like asking about the family and asking yep. about your hobbies and, you know, other things that you do beyond golf, if there is anything else. And yeah, the golf course lends to that in a way that very few other encounters can do.
Right. Yeah. I know when, you know, Tim and I play, we haven't played a lot lately, but we played in the past, and it's just a fun time of just talking and chatting. And, you know, I know, you know, Tim has taken clients out, and as myself, where we use that as a time, not just to, as an opportunity to just try to get business from them right away, but to, you know, hey, get to know people, you know, you know, this is the, like you just said, you know, 18 holes. There's no other, in my opinion, there's no other environment. You can't go to a business lunch. You can't sit down with somebody over coffee and really get the kind of, develop the kind of, you know, the, I guess develop the kind of understanding and you walk away after 18 holes with someone, you really feel like you have, you know them a little better and you know a little more about, you know, their likes, dislikes. And those are just opportunities to continue on, you know, even after that initial meeting on the golf course, you know, you've got a lot to go with there, you know, right. for developing a future relationship.
I've racked let my, go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry. No, you're here?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, everybody.
Go ahead, Tim. You need to talk.
Okay, we'll talking. Let Tim talk.
Gosh. Okay. See, there's a couple things about the golf course, right? Number one, when you take somebody out the golf course, we all like have skeletons in the closet, like how bad our swing really is. And once you take them out on the golf course and you realize that, they're locked into that relationship forever because fear of you might tell their buddies really how bad that golf swing is. The other thing that you get to do on the golf course too is say this statement and really try it, like, hey, watch this. You can't really say that in a restaurant, right? Hey, watch me do this in the restaurant. But no, like, hey, watch me try to take my four iron like Tiger Woods over 230 yards over that, you know, by the sheet, by the tree, and bounce it off the watershed into the hole. Check this out. Those are the kind of things that happen on the golf course. But let me say it this way. See, people don't always retain or remember information, but they always remember an experience.
Yep.
And that's a huge part of it. And, you know, they won't remember if you're talking to them about your products or services and all that's going to come up during the course of, you know, a round or whatever, they may or may not remember specifics about it, about the widget or about this or about that. But I guarantee you, they will remember how you almost drove the cart off into the sand trap by the pool, by the water hazard. They'll remember that. They'll, yep. they'll be talking about that for years.
Oh, they'll even talk about a great golf shot.
Well,
remember
absolutely.
That time you almost hold it or hit the stick on your chip? I mean, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. They'll remember all the experiences, both good, yeah. bad, funny. They just will not remember all the information. And I think that's a big point to make, that you can't get an experience from a business meeting in a boardroom or at a lunch. You can get a business experience from an activity like golf.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you, people that play golf with Tim will never forget their experience playing golf with Tim, because Tim, you got to share. Tim always wears some of the wildest stuff on the golf course.
I was looking at the picture of Tim on the back and went, oh, he wears loudmouth pants.
Absolutely.
I have a pair that I don't have the guts to wear on the golf course.
Well, you just got to man up, Fred. Okay. You just got to man up and get on the golf course with those britches, as my mama used to call them. Okay.
Listen, thank you, mama.
Thank you, mama. I have some sort of a simple rule to selling. And my very first basic part of selling is to create a conversation. Well, it's difficult, right? It's difficult. Salespeople get in their mind so much, like somebody needs to give me a script, open the door with this person, right? Mm-hmm. What should I say? Mm-hmm. And they get all mentally messed up because they're trying to figure out, like, what should they say to engage somebody in a conversation? Let me tell you what I've learned. If you wear crazy britches, right, or some really outrageous shoes, people come talk to you. People come talk to you. And it's a lot easier to get involved in a conversation when somebody goes, hey, man, let me tell you a story.
Please. So I'm not buying it yet. So go ahead.
Okay,
please.
I get. I understand. Okay.
I'm strange enough as it is that I don't. People go, you are such a goofball. I can't believe you're wearing those pants.
But yeah, we're going. I'm going to totally walk you through this.
Please,
okay.
Please.
All right.
Close the deal on me.
Here's the deal. Now, a few years back, 2 years ago, we were down at TPC Sawgrass for the championship matches down there, and Ricky Fowler. Puma had come out with a neon green and a neon pink shoe with black in it. And one shoe was kind of green and one shoe was kind of pink. Okay. So it looked like a mismatched pair of shoes if they weren't, when they were together, you know what I'm saying? You get the visual here.
Yeah.
Well, they were limited edition. And so of course I'm like thinking to myself, man, if I wear those at the golf course, some people will talk to me. I don't know what they're going to say, but they're going to talk. And literally this summer I was out at the golf course and I wore my shoes and, this guy goes, does your wife know that you took her shoes out of her closet?
Very good.
And so I looked back and I said, yeah, she, in fact, I asked her about it, but I don't think you asked her if you could take that swing out of her golf closet that you got over there.
So little thing.
I said, no, I'm just kidding. Her that's more junior level swing. That she's an adult. But
are you trying to make friends or piss people off?
We got a conversation going. Well, listen, here's the deal. Like when somebody comes at you with a zinger like that, they're generally able to take it a little bit. Okay. We ended up in this conversation, and that actually ended up leading to business, believe it or not. But it started because he had the nerve to ask me if those were women's shoes. And if I'd just been wearing some old regular white Nikes, you know, or something like that, he wouldn't have looked at my shoes.
Nope.
Right.
Nope.
He would have never said that. The same thing's happened to me with the pants, with the shorts. You know, it sometimes gets me in trouble because they think I'm a ringer until they see me actually miss the ball a couple of times. And then I've been actually accused like, dude, your golf swing ain't good enough to wear pants like that. But
that's probably true.
It definitely is true. 100%. And, but nonetheless, what it does is it creates conversations. And here's another thing. Check this out. People will actually ask to have your picture taken with them.
Oh yeah.
Oh, wow. And
like you're some kind of celebrity,
right? But you, how do you then use that opportunity to get an email address or a phone number so you can send them the picture or have them send it to you, right?
Well, at that point, we just tag each other on Facebook.
Okay. Right? Okay.
Right. So now I'm like, okay, well let me find you on Facebook. We'll tag each other, and then all your friends will see you actually got a picture with this crazy guy in his pants, and then. What's great about that in social media is that now I get exposure to all the people he's friends with.
Okay, but I do, but it's like, are you trying to make friends or do business? I mean, are there friends? Do you think that his friends are going to reach out to you because you're wearing goofy pants on Facebook? Because, there's a business opportunity for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's happened.
Wow.
It's absolutely happened.
Wow.
See, listen, everybody in this world is kind of same, right? It's the same this and the same this. And I always say same is lame, right? And you blend into the crowd. But I've literally had people, a lot of times business doesn't work this way. Like I meet somebody for the first time and they exchange money for goods and service after the first meeting.
No.
Real meaningful business happens because a relationship gets built.
Yeah, that's called retail.
Right. and so what happens is that they'll get a picture made. We'll become Facebook friends. Then some of their friends will be like, I can't believe that guy wore those pants. And by the way, where did he get them at?
Yeah.
Right.
The first time I remember the first time I ever played golf with Tim, and I remember it clearly because it's one of those things that sticks out. But the first time we ever played, he wore loudmouth pants and we played, I guess, 18 holes. And so, we're at the end of the day, we're heading out to the parking lot. After we're leaving the clubhouse, and I look back and, you know, Tim had kind of trailed behind. I was walking out to my car, but I look back and sure enough, there's a guy that had stopped Tim with talking to him and wanted to know about those pants. I mean, it was just, you know, it's just one of those things that it's a conversation starter more than anything. And it just opens a floodgate. You know, people want to know, where'd you get those? Or, mm-hmm. you know, ask you, you know, what, you got some serious guts wearing those.
And it's interesting because, you know, whether you wear a shirt or a hat with a logo mm-hmm. on it, right? It's like, oh, I'm going to wear this shirt yeah. today because I just got back from Bandon Dunes and I've got a new Bandon Dunes shirt or something like that, that you would hope starts conversation in a golf course. And a lot of times people don't notice. And it drives me nuts because I usually try to wear logo gear to try to start a conversation. And mm-hmm. it rarely happens. Like I would go to San Francisco Giants baseball games wearing a hat that was Oakland A's colors, but had the San Francisco logo on it. Right. So it's the two Bay Area teams. And you'd think that when I wear it around this county, people are, you know, people may notice going, oh, that's cool. Or you're a traitor or that's disgusting. Right. All those kind of things. But I've worn it to three baseball games this year. Not one person has said to me, wait a minute, your hat, it's A's colors, but it's got the Giants logo. What? So people don't always notice. But I guess when you have pants like that, it's hard yeah. not to know.
It's hard not to. I mean, his jackets, he's some of the jackets that Tim uses when he goes out and.
No, you
and,
don't have sports coats too, do you, Tim?
Oh, of course he does.
Oh my
God. Yeah, man. listen, Fred, let me ask you a question.
Sure, but
you can't be halfway pregnant, can you? Right.
Not again.
You're either all the way or you're not. Right. So listen, check this out. I've got the jacket that matches the pants, that matches the socks, that matches the belt, that matches the golf umbrella, that matches the ball cap, that matches the collar for my German Shepherd, that matches her leash. And the silence, as you hear, is a mic dropping on carpet.
Well, yeah, right. No, actually, what you're hearing is that scraping sound is me trying to get my jaw off the ground.
My favorite jacket he wears looks like he was he had run out into a paintball match and he just got shot up.
Those are the pants that he's wearing on the back cover of the book, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So he's got the match jacket.
Well, I think that Loudmouth, and that's not why we're here to talk about Loudmouth. And I remember when they first got started. And I think they're a phenomenal example of if you don't have, no, let's reword that. If you have a recognizable tour player using your product, whatever it is, from a ball to a club to a hat to a pair of pants, if you don't have somebody on the tour wearing it, it's not going to get noticed, right? Mm-hmm. I was playing like these phenomenal golf balls, Dixon Earth golf balls, right? And they're eco-friendly golf balls. They've never gotten on the tour. It's a fabulous product and it's eco-friendly. It doesn't damage plants or animals when you lose them, which we do lose golf balls. But mm-hmm. once Big Dog started wearing those pants, it changed everything for that company, right?
I mean, it certainly did help them. But again, I think it, and when we get right down the heart of it, you know, I try to be intentional, and I think Jonathan would agree with this. You want to be intentional about your efforts. And it's just a way to open up some conversations that can lead to opportunities. And that's where you got to really improve your sales skills, to listen to what people are actually telling you and find a way to connect on some kind of common ground. You know, the pants are just a conversation starter.
Sure.
But from there, you know, you want to really develop your listening skills. And then what I call your opportunity radar, which is something that as somebody's talking about their life and things like that on the golf course with you, you know, you find ways to serve them, right? Serve them with your products and services and things like that. Mm-hmm. But you got to really listen to them. To me, the shoes or the pants, that's just my way of opening up. And to some degree, golf is a fashion sport. Look at, you know, the other major brands. Every year they come out with new shirts. Like we really need a new shirt.
But
yeah, it's but that historically,
style and that colors.
Right. But historically, golf clothes are not the height of fashion, and a lot of people expect goofy clothes. You know, especially people who aren't playing, and they've gotten more into, you know, a normal pair of slacks and a nice pair of wingtips that have cleats on the bottom of them.
Right. But now we're talking about like the same category versus what Seth Godin described in Purple Cow, right?
Yeah.
How do you find a way for you to stand out, right?
Right.
Right.
And I think that's a big part of it as well.
I think you're seeing a lot of the younger players, if you watch golf regularly, I mean, the guys, not just Ricky Fowler, but some of these other guys, I mean, they come out with some pretty, fashionable attire, mm-hmm. some crazy looking stuff. You know, you every now and then you'll see some stuff that we're like, wow, that's pretty cool.
All right. Enough about the clothes. Let's talk about your book. Someone once told me, and I early on in the podcast years ago, and I've always really subscribed to it, and I think it's a wonderful thing, but I'd love your response to it, which is you never do business on the golf course. You use the golf course to see if you want to do business with that person.
Right.
And then you do it on the 19th hole. You do it at the bar afterwards.
19th. Yeah, exactly.
That's, okay. So I'll let you respond to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a protocol where you don't want to get into the position where you're in the middle of a game and trying to do business. And we actually mentioned some of the examples in the book of where situations have actually gone really bad from some of our guests that have contributed to the book. And there's some really funny stories in there.
Oh, yeah. Share the story about the guy who got the call from his boss. I love that story.
Oh yeah, yeah. So one of our contributors had demanded that without going into a lot of detail, but wanted basically a contract that needed to be signed, and literally sent his guy out dressed in a suit out on the golf course, and it was very embarrassing, to say the least. The guy's out there, and so it ended up looking really bad for the company, because the really is not the time or the place to do something like that. And we talk about that, in the book. There's a time and a place for everything. And, your opportunity, your time on the golf course is an opportunity. It's like Tim said earlier, you have to, as a sales professional, and anybody that's spent any time in sales for any period of time, know that, the best salespeople are the ones that don't talk. They're the ones that listen. And they're the people that, God gave us two ears and one mouth. So we need to use our two ears to be paying attention to what other people are saying and asking good questions. And questions tend to elicit the kind of answers that we want to. But they have to be, it's all about really learning about the person initially. What are some of the things you like to do? What do you enjoy doing? What's your family? How's your family doing? How are your kids? What do your kids like to do? Are your kids playing sports? And those things, it's one of my favorite books, and I think Tim would agree. We're both, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. You begin with the end in mind, but you want to build that emotional bank account. And the way you build the emotional bank account is to talk to the person and build the, listening. Empathy is one of the biggest things that you can do to build that emotional bank account. Just listening to people, asking the right questions, talking to them. One of my favorite books, one of my favorite sales books is a book called by Jeff Blunt called EQ Sales. And in the book, he's got a quote that says, when people feel connected to you, they feel more comfortable revealing their problems. But people have to get to know you first. They're just not going to come out and say what their biggest problems are in their business until they know you and they feel like they have a personal connection with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let me mention, because you said something about contributors, this is one of the things that I really enjoyed about this book, is that it's short. It's not a long book.
Yeah.
Right?
Easy read.
Yeah, 150 pages at best. But the other thing that I like is that you have different contributors. These are all short quips, little pieces mm-hmm. from a lot of different people on a lot of different perspectives. And I got to tell you, a lot of this stuff we all kind of know, right? I mean, mm-hmm. it's not redundant, but it's reemphasizing and reiterating a lot of stuff that we kind of learn as golfers. But there's little nuggets hidden in there that I'm like, oh, right. That's a great perspective on that.
Right.
And actually, one of my favorite pieces in here was by Jennifer Harris about how golf helps women gain more sales yes. through relationship building. And I was blown away. I mean, I started reading this one to my wife. She goes, I'm busy. Stop talking. but it's like, she said here, the obvious here. This is the obvious part. What if I told you that you could learn as much about a person in 4 hours on the golf course as most people learn in 5 years in the business world? Now, we've already discussed this. But her next comment, furthermore, executives who play golf make 17% more on average than those who don't. Now, it's quoting The Economist from 2011, and who knows what the number is now. But the fact that that kind of blew me away, 17% because they play golf. And is that because they're upper level management type of thing, or is it because they're better salespeople? What, how do you justify that number?
I don't know.
Go ahead,
that's a good one. I mean, you know, I think if you're intentional about who you go golf with, you know, when I'm coaching in the world of sales and I coach full time, sales professionals in the mortgage industry, I'm always encouraging them to say, hey, listen, there are a lot of people you can earn your business from, but you're always going to be best served to build relationships with people that are established and have a high degree of influence and a large customer base, because those, you can have fewer of those relationships and a much more rewarding career. So I think it probably comes from a couple of different aspects. I mean, obviously the game of golf is not an inexpensive game to play, right? You're going to need clubs and clothing and balls and the greens fees and all of the things that go along with that. And so most of the time I would imagine you're probably selling or working in a higher ticket product.
Well, plus you have to have the time.
Yeah.
Correct.
And the ability, someone to say to you, yeah, it's okay. Go play golf with that guy today.
Right. So you're probably an independent business owner or an independent sales professional.
Mm-hmm. Or you're in real estate.
Or you're in real estate. Yeah, right. I mean, an insurance agent would have to, you know, would struggle on the golf course because their earnings per sale are lower than, you know, someone in real estate.
They can't afford to invest 4 hours on one person in a day like that. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. But if I'm in real estate and I take you out to play golf and you see the houses at the club we go to and you're like, I'm really interested in purchasing one of those and it's $800,000 and my commission is $24,000. I probably am going to buy the RAM for you, right? So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, my son, who's in commercial, actually multifamily real estate, he didn't play golf growing up very much. He got me started on the game, and then he just disappeared from it. But as an adult, he is playing more than I am in better courses than I am, which really upsets me, and he won't invite me to be with any of his friends. but it's amazing how that industry, it's so important for him to be able to play golf. Because like next in 2 weeks, he's all expense 4 days at Bandon Dunes. It's like, really? Yep. You creep. But I'm going to go back down and then I'm going to go down a little bit more on Jennifer Harris's thing. Again, this is stuff that we know, but I just love the way she put it. When she's talking about building trust to open deals, size up clients, and women using golf as a business tool, they need to understand the basic principles. Once these are mastered, the game opens the door to increase sales and more clients. And this, I love this line. To build trust in the golf course, you must do two things. And forget about business. This is if you're new to golf and you're bringing somebody out who's not experienced, this is what you want to share with them. Have great etiquette and exhibit integrity, right? And to do that, you need to focus on four things. One, be safe on the course. Two, respect your playing partners. Three, take good care of the course. And four, play fast. That's amazing advice.
Yeah. Don't walk in front of the person.
Yeah.
When they're about to take a shot.
Please. Or behind them. Right?
Right.
It's more than just walking on the line on the green. There's a lot that goes on with it. That's a great, great piece. I just love that so much.
Yeah. And real quick, Fred, let me back up and just say, you know, golf, you know, people think of it in terms of if you're in business and sometimes you're thinking in terms of your clients, but golf is a great, from a strategic standpoint, developing those strategic partnerships in your business that, you know, somebody may be, you know, you may be, let's say the insurance business you mentioned earlier. Okay. So you know, insurance is a transaction by transaction. So you know, somebody that's in the world of insurance may want to partner or develop a strategic relationship on the golf course with somebody within a different industry that may be able to, they may be able to help each other. You know, somebody who is a realtor or, you know, a real estate agent or broker or a mortgage person that they could, you know, develop a strategic partnership. So it doesn't always have to be, you know, you going after that person that's a potential client. Sometimes it's finding those strategic partnerships that you can use and help each other, you know, in building your business.
Great.
I'm just really impressed with this book, and I think it's an important one for a lot of people to have. I really do. Wow, we've already exceeded 30 minutes. Tell people how to get in touch with you if you have or find the book if they have any questions.
Yeah, you could go to you can get the book on Amazon. It's a bestseller. You go to Amazon.com, look for Selling on the Green, or you can go to SellingOnTheGreen.com, which is our website. And also for your listeners, Fred, if they would like to get, we've got, we mentioned the audios earlier. So we have a whole set of audios called Business Lessons from the Golf Course. And they can get that by going to sellingonthegreen.com/audios. And you just sign up and then you'll get a number of interviews. And some of these are some of our co-authors that were in the book. Some of them are some of Tim's lessons on marketing. And some of these are really good that he's put together. So I think in all, I think it's like 12 audios that are just full of great content that people can access for free. And then they can also find the book at sellingonthegreen.com.
Fabulous. Fabulous. Tim, anything else you'd like to add?
I just think it's really awesome of you to have us on here, Fred. And thank you for all the kind words you said
Absolutely.
About the book. And
I really enjoyed it.
Well,
I mean,
good.
Honestly,
I'm
I
glad
really
you
did.
Did.
I'm glad it's in my library.
That's awesome, you know. And that's, I think, at the end of the day, when Jonathan reached out to me, it's something we're passionate about. And it's just wonderful to hear the stories of how it's impacting people. And they're getting these nuggets from it. And, you know, it's just one way that, you know, the game's given to us. And we just pay it forward. So thank you so much for taking time and having us on Absolutely. As guests. It's really, really kind of you.
As I mentioned, what I enjoyed most about this book is that it has a number of short essays and stories, not just two guys telling of their experiences. So you get a lot of different perspectives. And I think that's important when you're talking about businesses, because everybody's business is different. But it really is about relationship building. And this is a valuable book. And guess what? They've provided me with a small box of these books for you to have. Here's all you have to do to get one. I'm not going to make it difficult. No contests here. Just write a review for Golf Smarter. And you don't have to write a generic review. You do not have to write one of those generic reviews if you don't want to. Write a review about this episode or any episode that you remember or where you feel like you've learned something, you got something out of it, or just write about one of our guests that he connects with you. She connects you. She speaks to you, and you've taken something away from it. So it's just in a way of letting other podcast listeners know why they need to check out Golf Smarter. We're very lucky that we have that intuitive search in iTunes and in the podcast app that when you type in golf, Golf Smarter comes up first. But it's not as good as word of mouth, and your review is perfect word of mouth. So once you post the review, send me an email and address it to fred@golfsmarterpodcast.com. And then include in your email to me your name, your mailing address, and a copy of what you wrote and where you wrote it so I can go and confirm it. And once I've done that, I'm happy to send you the book for only my cost of shipping and handling, which is less than $5 a book in the continental United States. If you live outside of the U.S., it may cost a little more, and I'm happy to discuss it with you via email, but it's that simple. Write a review for Golf Smarter Podcast and get the book called Selling on the Green, The Art of Building Trusted Relationships and Growing Your Business on the Golf Course with Jonathan Taylor and Tim Davis. That's all it takes. And as always, I truly appreciate your kind words and the continued support. Now, last week, I mentioned and I introduced you to mybookie.ag. the safest place to play. Now that you've been thinking about it a little while, let me ask you this. Are you a sports fan? Beyond golf, let's get away from golf because their season's over right now. But seriously, do you watch games on TV? Well, my two favorite times of the year for sports is right now and at the beginning of spring. But right now, NFL teams are starting to establish their identities. The NHL and the NBA seasons are about to begin. Go Warriors! And my favorite time of the year, the baseball playoffs. Well, if you're into any of those and are planning on watching the games, then it's time to start making money. Yeah. MyBookie is the industry-leading website that hooks you up for all your betting needs. And with their great odds, fast payouts, and decades of expertise, you can bet with confidence. Like this season, for me, neither of my baseball teams are in the playoffs. Actually, they both ended up in last place in their divisions. Okay, so they both suck, but it doesn't mean I didn't have a chance to win because I swallowed my pride and I bet against them. But you know what happened? They lost. And I won. You know, your team doesn't have to win. All they need to do is cover the spread. So what are you waiting for? Lay down some cash and win big today. You do realize that where you bet is as important as what you're betting on. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to mybookie.ag. Don't take my word for it. Forget that. Just check them out for yourself. They have in-game live betting and a mobile site that makes wagering on the go easier than ever. You can also check out their online casino if you'd rather just play a few hands of blackjack or roll the dice in craps. So join MyBookie now at MyBookie.ag and they'll match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. All you'd need to do is use the promo code GOLFSMARTER, one word, GOLFSMARTER, to activate this incredible offer. MyBookie.ag, promo code GOLFSMARTER. You play, you win, you get paid. And again, I thank them for the support of the Golf Smarter podcast and for giving you a chance to win money. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, or you want to write that review, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.